The touch ahead. Dempsey cutting inside the box. Dempsey's in! Dempsey off the post and in! The U.S. has scored a little bit better than a half minute into the game. And he becomes the first American to score in three straight World Cups. Asamoah cutting to his right toward the middle. Into the box it goes. Backheel. Ayew's in! Ayew scores! Ghana has tied it! Andre Ayew 1-1 in the 82nd minute. Johansson, he should just dump it ahead, and he does. Jermaine Jones will run on to it and just try to kill the clock, and he's done it. U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
There's stuff that we need to improve. We had problems to keep the ball, you know, just to pass it around and get a little bit more simple into the game. But it's also because of the merit of Ghana. It's a damn good team. They know how to kind of grind you as well. So it's what we expected. At the end of the day, we got the 3 points that we badly wanted, and we can move on.
Everywhere around the world, they come to America.
All right, welcome to the zone, where it's totally okay today to celebrate the beatdown of a third world country.
And they don't even have electricity right now because the game was so long last night.
Oh, what a great game.
Poor guys.
I actually got Maddox to sit down and watch with me last night. It was a family affair, and I know you were hanging out with a bunch of rabid soccer fans at Stickies yesterday.
Thanks to Stickies. Let me tell you something. Suzanne knows how to do it, my friend, and it was a great time. I give the tip of the cap to intern number one. Guy stepped his game up. Stepped his game up. He took it upon himself to set up the entire Buzzschwag table, and he did everything with the precision of a Clint Dempsey goal within 30 seconds. And he called, by the way, the goal, that last final goal of the U.S.
He called it?
He said, I got to score right now.
On the corner kick, he called for it?
I said, intern, there's no chance. Come on, intern. Get your stuff together, intern.
We will talk more about the details of it. We have a busy day today. Actually, I have a couple of guests coming in. We've got a charity event coming up later this month that's going to benefit the victims of the tornado. The guy that owns Millennium Bowl was actually, he lost everything he owned in there. Now, he had insurance, luckily, but he's going to do a fundraiser here at the end of the month to help benefit those who need it. Yes?
Now, the owner of Millennium Bowl is?
Russell.
Okay.
He's coming in.
Is Shane Gilmore still have anything to do with that?
That's him.
Okay.
Shane Gilmore, yes. Did I put Russell? Shane Gilmore, yes. Sorry.
Shane, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I don't know where that came from. Yes.
He's a former Razorback.
Is that right?
Played either football or baseball. I met with him a few times, tried to get him on board with the good old Rim Rockers, baby.
Huh, didn't work out?
Not quite.
Okay. Well, anyway, he
is. It would be good to talk to him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, even though he shunned you, and I know there's no hard feelings.
He didn't mean to. It was an accident.
So the winning goal last night scored on a header by John Brooks, who's an interesting guy. Now, we've got a coach from Germany. This kid was actually born in Germany. I don't know if you knew that or not. 21 years old.
Yeah, I heard him talk.
Born and raised in Berlin. His father's a Chicago serviceman. Mother's German, born in Berlin. He's one of five German-American players on this year's World Cup roster. So what does Klinsmann say? If you can't beat him, join him. let him join you in this case. He also appeared for both American and German youth teams before committing to the U.S. in July of 2013 when he made his senior debut. If I was him, I probably would have gone Germany because you'd have a much better chance of winning.
I don't know if he'd be able to make the team, though. That's the only downside with that.
That's actually a great point. A couple of other details about this particular young man, 21, as we said. Tattoos on his elbows. Never heard of such a thing. I've never seen an elbow tat except for a guy that's got a full sleeve. Mm. One is, on one elbow he's got Germany, where he's born. On the other one he's got Illinois, where his father is from. That's pretty cool.
The outline of the state, or like a state flag or state motto?
Outline of the state of the country of Germany, outline of the state of Illinois with, I think, stars from where his parents are from in the area.
The hometown. I get it. Hey, no big deal, buddy.
I will say this, too. If you are going to throw up a corner kick, or kick up a corner kick, I guess, as it were, to a guy in the middle and try to get a header into the goal, he's a good choice. 6'4".
Kid's long, kid's lanky. And from just watching and what I've learned.
You know, they have a 6'5 guy, too, on that team.
Yeah, I saw that guy.
It's crazy.
Huge. You need those guys. But he did the proper technique when you want to head the ball in front of the net is you head it down so it hits the ground and bounces up. Much more difficult for the goaltender to keep
it. Apparently so.
Well, that's what I learned.
It's hard for me to do that. When you're 6'4 and can jump, I guess it's not that hard. He was way above.
I'm not full ahead of
everybody else or above everybody else when he did it. That was a great moment, though. But, I mean, right after, there was such a letdown after the Ghana team had tied it up with a goal. And then a couple minutes later, the Americans score again, so they didn't make us wait too long.
You know what I've learned from watching the World Cup yesterday? Three out of our four major professional sports, we have game sevens. Super Bowl is the only game that's just one game. But what I learned is that one World Cup soccer game is the equivalent of the emotions and everything that goes into it, almost like seven games of another sport. Like the ups and downs and the strategy changes so much. Like you're up one, that means it's very, very emotional.
The other thing is, this game was so important. That's why it was so exciting, because this game was so important that they win and get the 3 points you get for a victory versus a tie or a loss against Ghana, a team that was actually favored against the United States yesterday. So that's why it's fun to celebrate it. It's not like you went in and beat a lesser team. You beat a team that was favored against you, and you did it in dramatic fashion, so it was great. By the way, United States gets Portugal. It's a game you'll hear here on The Buzz on Sunday. That game important, and they actually lost a player yesterday to a suspension because he headbutted. Yeah, he headbutted a German player yesterday. He was on the ground. What an idiot.
One of the great all-time dramatic moves I've ever seen. I'm telling you, this is like a movie.
When they kept your boy in check, Ronaldo, in check yesterday.
I thought he was going to tackle the referee or the umpire.
We'll talk more about that
game. The guy that holds the cards.
They lose a player and they lose their prizes. They get smashed. We'll talk about it in a second. John Brooks, though, the hero of yesterday's victory, came in as a substitute. First goal by a U.S. substitute player at a World Cup. If you check out his Wikipedia, it's been updated. John Anthony Brooks Jr., referred to as John Brooks, born January 28, 1993 in Berlin, is a German-American footballer. He is the greatest American since Abraham Lincoln.
Zusi from the far side, looking on that corner. And again, and a goal! The U.S. has scored! Brooks! Incredible! 2-1 lead. John Brooks can't believe it himself. It was a Graham Zusi corner to the left of the goalkeeper. He put it into the middle. Heads went forward. It met the head of Brooks. He's still down on his knees giving thanks.
Look, I'm just going to say this one more time, and I'm not going to say it again the rest of the time we do this.
What?
I'm just going to ignore you if you downplay the importance of the World Cup.
Okay.
You only are asked to support the United States men's soccer team once every 4 years.
Okay.
If you hate soccer, and let me tell you this, I don't hate it anymore, but I am not necessarily a soccer fan. I am, however, a world stage United States fan. So anytime there's a world stage event with the United States involved, even if it's an event that I'm not necessarily interested in, I'm going to follow it, we're going to talk about it, we're going to celebrate it. And it has captured the hearts of America. And it may not be to the level that the media will give it, but I think it is awesome, and it's nice to see them win in a sport that it's not their best game.
Yeah, I thought yesterday about if the United States won the World Cup.
Oh, my.
The world might just go into complete chaos. We may get invaded, bombed. Think about if this does happen, if we win. The entire world, if it's not in enough chaos already.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
I have a funny feeling.
Place will explode.
If the United States won the World Cup on, say, a Sunday, I'm afraid that the next day would be the broadcast on Monday would start like this. Welcome to the zone. Huge news yesterday as the United States clinches the World Cup. In two unrelated stories, hell froze over and monkeys flew out of my butt. What do you think? I'm going to guess that that's how likely it is.
Why? Jurgen Klinsmann?
I'm not saying they can't be competitive. The other thing is...
Kobe's got a message for you and Jurgen Klinsmann.
Here's a positive stat. You want a positive stat?
Yeah.
85% of the teams that win their first game go on to make the elimination round.
Oh, well, thank you for that little tidbit. We're going to get eliminated.
Well, no, but you get out of the pool play, which is an accomplishment when you're as good as the United States. You can just get – look, you're better than half the teams in your pool. That's good.
Listen,
Portugal, I'm telling you, Portugal right now has to be beside themselves. Their head cases –
you mean they're like, hey, how you doing, Portugal? What are you doing beside me?
Ronaldo is not – he didn't play very well yesterday, plus he's not 100%. Second of all, you got your boy Pepe who's not going to be available on Sunday because of his stupid headbutt. And it was a – I mean, the dude gave up a hat trick. That's how bad their day was. They gave up a flipping hat trick at the World Cup.
It's Thomas Müller with a hat. catcher extraordinaire, Thomas Muller, strikes again. His first World Cup hat-trick.
On ESPN Mueller. This morning, he goes, Mueller.
That's good. There's a lot of good jokes that they miss, I think, at the World Cup. I was thought about this, and as Portugal are a bunch of mental midgets, right?
Okay.
I mean, they are the Indiana Pacers of the World Cup. They got the talent. Clearly, they have in Ronaldo the best player in the world.
Right.
If you were to go,
he's not
down Ronaldo's avenue versus Messi avenue.
He's second best behind.
Whichever way you want to go, that's fine. To each his own. I'm a Ronaldo guy. We all know this. But they are the mental midgets. I mean, how are you going to headbutt a guy? It's the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Don't think you're going to get away with a lot, especially a headbutt when the guy's on the ground.
It is
and
an emotional.
And then they had to play 10 and 11.
It's an emotional game.
Listen, Justin, it is one of the great dramatic, I don't even want to call it a game. It's an event. It's like a play. It's like they should be on the stage, and it should be done in a theater. Because it is just great drama that goes on with every play. Pepe's going to learn. He does have a big head, though. I don't blame him.
I think
he got his point across, though.
I didn't know I was getting that close. My head was bigger than I'd estimated. That could be his excuse.
My forehead's always bumping into things.
Ghana is a team that was favored against the United States. They are 0-1 now in the World Cup. But today they get to go back to being a third world country.
Do you remember what I said yesterday?
No.
I said they're not gonna win.
Yeah.
You guys were cracking up. You had to be there.
That was a great prediction.
Jason Peterson had on Facebook yesterday, nana gonna, hey, 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 goodbye.
You guys are so good.
Funny. Anyway.
The gonorrheans, right? Is that what the...
Yes, I said that that was easy to...
The gonorrheans.
We were going to make a joke about how they had a guy named... Yeah, Rhea. Ghana's Rhea.
Yeah, that's it.
Ghana's Rhea was eliminated. He got booted from the game. He had to go get a penicillin shot. Yeah,
I think they are.
He went to pick up the prescription.
No, he's not. Anyway, to ensure the World Cup viewing won't be interrupted, Ghana purchased 50 megawatts of electricity from the Ivory Coast. Here's my thing. If you've got to purchase anything from the Ivory Coast to get by, you know you're in bad shape. Power plants will also be running at maximum capacity, and did yesterday. And the nation's largest smelter and a large drain on electricity will slow production during the match. That's Volta Aluminum. So they had to slow down production for the day. These plans are put in place for consumers to watch uninterruptible football matches during the World Cup, says the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission. So congratulations to them.
Well, I hate to break it to them. I saw a couple of dead spots there. There was a couple times it blacked out on me. I don't know if that
watching,
was ESPN or if that was
Ghana TV. They would have been better served probably for the TVs for them to run out of electricity after the Ghana goal, and they might have gone to bed thinking, "Gee, we tied."
They would have found out like 4 years later.
I just got my buddy PJ sent me a message that was tweeted out. Don't be sad, Ghana. At least you'll have Miami Heat champions gear waiting for you at home.
There you go.
Oh,
good point.
That's mean.
For Pete.
I'm sorry.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
They're going to look stylish, though.
One of the things Pat mentioned to me when we were getting ready for the show today was how physical the game was. He was surprised by it because the United States, Dempsey got a broken nose.
I
got to give the guy credit. I'll give him a game ball. I mean, I don't know if I hang in there if I get a broken nose.
He didn't touch a
hand. Oh, wait, that's his goal. I don't have the soundbite, I guess, but he talked about how hard it was to breathe. And then also Jozy Altidore, one of the actual, I only knew like a... Well, one.
It's a great name, though, isn't it?
I only knew one guy from the United States team, and because I saw a feature on Real Sports about racism in European soccer, and he plays over there. That was the only reason I knew about him. But he's got a hamstring issue, and I saw a doctor on ESPN talking about it. It could be a grade one, grade two, or grade three. Grade three is like a tear, which he didn't think was likely. Grade two means you're out for like 6 weeks, up to 6 weeks maybe, and grade one is just a few days. So we'll find out more. No, but the replacement guys have done well. He was replaced by a 23-year-old kid, Aaron Johansson, no relation to the Johnsons of our family, but they are also of the same heritage, making his first appearance in a World Cup. He has fewer than 10 caps with the senior national team. I don't know what a cap is, but has scored 2 goals in those limited appearances. So he hadn't played much, but apparently he's pretty talented. So they've got some young guys that they like that have played well but do not have the experience that he has, so hopefully he can get healthy. They also, I read in this story that the replacements are much better fits probably than Landon Donovan, even though he's a very experienced guy.
Let me ask you, what do you think of the tub stretcher? of the stretcher that's actually a tub, so the guy can't roll off one way or the other.
I could only think of one thing. I'm like, do you not have either a wheeled cart or a motorized cart that you...
Hilarious.
I mean, players go down in a heap like every other
motorized, minute. A golf cart. I mean, that solves all problems,
I was
right?
shocked they didn't have a golf cart available.
I love the tub. It's like they put them in a, what would you call that?
Yeah, it is.
You know what I use? That looks like my TV tray,
it's like
except it's a big TV tray.
It's like a deep dish pizza pie pan.
It was hilarious when they put, I don't know if they put the Ghanaian on there first. Or they put somebody on there.
Ghanaian? Is that what they're called?
It's either Ghanaian or the
He's a Ghanaian.
Ghanaian? I
think
that's
right.
Ghanaian. At the end of the day, they put him in the pizza.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
How about a Ghani? You know, they used to call Arkansans Arkies. A Ghani? A Ghanaian?
I'll go with it.
How about
fine.
Ghanaian?
Ghanaian, I'll do it. That's fine with me. Anyway, they put him in the tub stretcher.
The dude that was part of the lose. That lose.
Yeah, they lost. Anyway, it's great, great.
Yeah, the tub stretcher. It's great.
Tub stretcher.
It's a great description. A few things for you to know about the World Cup. The global audience of the 2010 World Cup finals, the last time they played it, 1 billion people tuned in to watch. 1 billion.
How much does it say for an advertisement?
Don't say that. The average ticket price for the first round match between Brazil and Mexico, $2,800. Average ticket price for matches across round one, $240. The number of times Brazil has won the cup. Do you have any idea?
I'll say 12 times.
5 times.
Okay.
And the number of European teams that have won the cup in South America?
I'm going to say zero.
Zero.
Since you gave me that symbol.
I was telling you.
A-OK?
Yeah, A-OK. I don't know how many times they've played it in Brazil, but I do know that they've never won down there. The hardest group, apparently, according to this information, this is actually out of Maxim magazine, which I think we can all agree is probably the best source for any kind of soccer information.
Oh, yeah.
Toughest group, D, as in dog. Uruguay, Costa Rica, England, and Italy. One of the big-name teams will not get out of there. Actually, two of those teams will not get out because only half of them advance. So I guess it could be worse. United States looks like it's got a legitimate shot now with Portugal getting smashed yesterday. I guess we'll see. I guess if Germany beats Ghana as expected on Sunday, you would want need Ghana to beat Portugal, right? And then Portugal's basically out of it.
From what I gathered, and take this with a grain of salt, even if we tie Portugal, we'll get a point, and which will put us in position because of the differential of goals scored against. And if there's a tie in points, it goes to goal
differential. Portugal dug themselves a huge hole because they got beat by 4.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's true. It's going to depend how much Ghana wins by if they beat Portugal.
Now,
because they only beat them by 1.
Pepe is out.
Yeah.
For the next game.
You got an injured, their best player's injured, not 100%. He's going to play. And then you got another starter that's out. I mean, you got every advantage here. You can't blow it.
I think Ghana wins.
No, I'm talking about us. What about us against Portugal?
Oh, sure. Against Portugal? All we need is a tie.
I don't want to tie.
I want to win.
If we win,
it's
over.
It's over.
Then we can rest.
Us in Germany.
Then you can see all the backups play in Germany, United States, because the game's irrelevant.
And we probably won't know the difference.
No. Bunch of dudes run around. I'm assuming that the goalie will play regardless. I do know him. So, anyway, it's 10:27. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're actually going to talk to Shane. He's in here. He's going to be in here talking about the charity event coming up here later this month.
Bowling should be a World Cup event as well.
I don't have a problem with that. By the way, we've got the Word Cup also later this hour. Let's hit that at 10:45. The intern has come up with another impossible list of words for you to try to identify.
Intern, way to go.
This is SportsCenter.
Team USA's done.